Welcome to the Resource People Podcast, presented to you by Australian Resources and Energy Group, AMA. The Resource People Podcast brings to life the stories behind the people, workforces and companies of our great industry.
Thanks everyone for joining us for this episode of Resource People Podcast. Today, it's really wonderful to be joined by Tristan Howes, who's the Operations, Integration and Collaboration Lead for ConocoPhillips Australia. Today's episode really is a wide-ranging discussion on innovation and how ConocoPhillips have empowered its people to really innovate and bring their best ideas to work, both big and small. We're going to talk in detail about two key initiatives of Conoco's, the Dare to Try program and the Value Optimization Campaign. It's fantastic hearing Tristan's perspective on innovation and indeed what his definition of innovation is and how it's really challenging the status quo of how companies approach employee engagement and culture in respect to innovation. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to Resource People Podcast, Tristan.
Thanks for having us, Tara.
Awesome. So ConocoPhillips has a really important job, like all resource and energy employers, to safely find and deliver energy to the world. Can you tell us about Conoco globally and in Australia, where it operates and how many people it employs?
Yeah, for sure. So ConocoPhillips is one of the largest independent exploration and production companies in the world, with activities over 16 countries. Our company is based in Houston, Texas. That's where our headquarters is, where we coordinate operations across our global portfolio. So that includes everything from exploration, development, production, and distribution of crude oil and natural gas resources to our global customers. If we were to take a look, step back from that, and we look at the Australian operations, we employ roughly 300 people, largely split between the Gladstone LNG facility on Curtis Island, with a balance being in our Park Road office here in Milton in Brisbane. And we've also got a few people over in Perth as well. We're a major shareholder in Australia Pacific LNG. And our role in that is to be the downstream operator of the LNG facility on Curtis Island. We also have some exploration activities in Australia as well, which are currently under evaluation and we're really excited about.
Oh, that's awesome. And for those that don't know, how long has APLNG, Australian Pacific LNG, been operating in Gladstone?
Yeah, so 2015, we had first gas with our first cargo shipping out in January of 2016. So, you know, touch over 4 years of operation there, where we've grown and experienced a lot. And yeah, we've delivered a product that we're really, really proud of, an extremely reliable organization, which is piloted by some fantastic people.
Awesome. And I know you guys are really globally renowned for innovation. In fact, that's what brings us to have this chat today. Can you tell us about ConocoPhillips' overarching approach to innovation?
Yeah, for sure. So I think, first of all, it's really important to understand, you know, what innovation is and what it isn't. For too long, I've certainly found that innovation's had this inextricable link to the technical field and the technical field alone. You know, our view at ConocoPhillips is it's not the responsibility purely of the technical field to come up with all these innovations. You know, if we were to take that view that innovation is only coming from the technical field, then we'd be really limiting ourselves to an audience of around 200 people out of an organization of close to 10,000. So we see it simpler than this. We see innovation as anything that's new, anything that's exciting, anything that's forward-looking, anything that can, you know, motivate any one of our workers to put their hand up and say, I've got an idea, I think I can do it better. So we want to recognise that anyone can be an innovator, and we want to empower our employees to bring their best ideas to work. We certainly understand that not all ideas are created equal, and it's important to celebrate both our success and our failures, which sounds crazy, right? But if I expand on that, it's really looking at those ideas and recognise not all of them will get up. Some of them might not get over the line, but we want to call out those positive behaviours, particularly where an idea has been raised and it's failed safe. So where somebody has demonstrated that they've gone out, they've engaged the right SMEs, they've done the work, it's led to a trial, and you know, we've put certain boundaries around that trial, and then we found out, you know what, you know, maybe we're not going to go forward with that, but we want to call out that behaviour and that collaboration, because that is awesome and that's what it's all about. So looking back to the role of innovation, I guess, in our industry, I mean, you can do a quick Wikipedia check and just see how far we've come as an industry. You know, it's played a key role in our success. Go back as far as, it's crazy, like the 4th century even, you could see that there were wells being drilled in, I think it was mainland China, using handmade drill bits on bamboo poles to the depth of 800 feet. You know, that's phenomenal to me. And then when you go further from that, you can kind of see that expansion through the centuries into, you know, into paraffins, into asphalt, into large scale production of crude oil, gasoline, LNG, so on and so forth. Mm. So, and then even closer, if you look back just to the late 1900s, early 2000s, you see this massive expansion into the unconventional plays, where all of a sudden we're able to unlock reserves that were previously unavailable to us through new technology, through horizontal drilling. You know, if we look at it in a little bit more detail, we're now able to drill wells at twice the depth and twice as difficult terrain at half the time. That's fantastic, and that's what it's all about. So for us, it's really about how do we continue to empower our workforce to think of their solutions for tomorrow.
Yeah, wow, and it's something that I find is a common thread in speaking to lots of different people from our industry, is that problem solving and solution finding really is at the heart of what most people in the industry really enjoy and find that it's a really unique kind of element of the industry. And looking back when I was researching for talking to you, innovation has really underpinned ConocoPhillips as a business. And I understand that there's two initiatives that you guys have kicked off here in the Australian business unit in the last year. And it sounds like they fall under the sort of banner that you were talking about in terms of innovation, making that part of your culture and encouraging people to do that and submit ideas on how to work smarter, more efficiently, and where possible, of course, what all organisations look for, saving costs in what is a very ever-changing economic environment. So I understand there's an initiative called Dare to Try program, and I'd love for you to tell us about it.
Yeah, so our Dare to Try program is really about empowering our people to bring their best ideas to work. It's about creating that culture of innovation and investing in our people to help foster and shape the way we want to work in the future. So again, it's really about encouraging people to put their hand up and challenge the status quo and say, I think I've found a better way. It's an initiative which really builds on the premise of social networking. So we were able to, in the very early stages, engage with a company that provided a platform which very much acts and feels like a social networking type of arrangement, like what you would see on a Facebook or a LinkedIn or whatever that may be. So what it enables people to do is to operate on a platform very simply. So bring an idea forward that others can see, others can comment on, others can like. You can share ideas, you can bring people into the discussion so that you can build on that initial premise of an idea and potentially deliver something that's fantastic and then can be leveraged across the world, across our ConocoPhillips portfolio. Right. So it's been really successful for us. We've had over 120 ideas submitted into Dare to Try, and you know, not all of those get up, but we've had a really good success rate of converting those into either projects or actually executing them in the field. And it's certainly a fantastic program that both us and our people are very excited about.
Wow, and even just the title, Dare to Try, it really conjures up what you talked to us a few minutes ago about having a crack. And, you know, often people talk about failing fast and having a go, breeding that culture of having a go at those things. So I love the title. And working alongside Dare to Try is a program called Value Optimization Campaign. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so whereas Dare to Try is kind of your evergreen innovation pipeline, which is welcoming ideas big and small across any kind of range of criteria, the value optimization campaign was created, I guess, in recognition for the industry downturn that we're experiencing associated with the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. So it was really more so focused on, you know, we recognised that we needed to operate differently in this space. Mm-hmm. So I was really focused on, well, how do we maximise efficiencies? How do we reduce costs? How do we make sure we're spending in the right areas? How do we bring in things like automation so that we're working smarter, not harder, and you know, we're able to successfully sustain our operations through what has been a challenging time, not just for us, but for the, you know, the broader industry and the broader public in general. So yeah, the benefit of the value optimization campaign is being able to really target a specific topic. And as those ideas are created, we then have a cross-functional team which looks at those ideas, evaluates those ideas, which are then presented to a continuous improvement review board. And from there, we decide on whether those ideas are push forward into execution, into a project, or maybe archived as a good idea, but maybe not just now. Again, hugely successful campaign, 67 new ideas I think we had, and we're just currently working through those now.
Oh, wow. And just on the topic of success, often these sorts of programs that, you know, there's lots of different ideas, big and small. Some, as you say, may not be right for that particular time and place or the capabilities. But more broadly, how do you measure the success of campaigns like this, Tristan?
I think, yeah, if you look at the tool and if you look at what we're trying to do here, it's trying to create that culture. So for me, you can sometimes get a bit focused on just the end result. And what I wanted to focus on and what we focused on here is not only the end result's very important, but the amount of audience participation that we're getting. So, you know, you launch a program like this, we pushed it out to all of our workforce within Australia. So whether you're a contractor or employee, it didn't matter. And what we've got on the back end of the software is we're able to see, we've got some optics on the amount of participation. So the amount of people that are logging in, creating ideas, liking, sharing, commenting, whatever that may be. And we're up around the 92% mark where, yeah, and that could be a manager at the very top level. That could be somebody on the shop floor. That, yeah, 92% of our workforce have gotten involved. And for me, that speaks to the culture. That speaks to where we're headed and what we've got today. And for me, that's fantastic. You know, to take that then forward from that, so you've harnessed the culture, it is about producing something with all that energy. So being able to go back to the workforce and say, you know, those ideas and all that time and effort you put into submitting your idea, this is what we've done. You know, providing those regular comms back through the workforce and showing them what we've done with their time and effort is a measure of success as well.
Well, and we've touched on culture a couple of times, so I'm going to kind of go into it a little bit further now, because I'd like to understand how you would describe the change in culture for these two initiatives.
Yeah, I think it's really helped bring innovation to the forefront, to be fair. I think it's created an avenue for our workforce to bring their best ideas to work and to put them somewhere where they could share and discuss them openly. It's certainly helped demystify innovation. Again, you can get into that argument of what's in and what's out. And really for us, it's just looking, in its simplest form, is looking at ways of doing things differently. So, you know, I think we've tapped into a culture that was already there. I think we've helped foster that culture and bring with it a heap of excitement. And I think that, you know, the future looks fantastic in the innovation space for us. I think it's incumbent on us to continue to produce results. And I think also share some of our success stories across the globe. The last question you asked, what's another measure of success? And I think where I'd love to see us go is the adoption of ideas that are coming out of Australia by other business units across the globe. You know, something that they're able to look over at what we're doing here in Australia and say, that looks good, I want it. we have some collaboration and they can dust it off and they can use it without having to reinvent the wheel, which is quite common within our industry, frankly.
And, you know, us Aussies love it when we get to export good ideas and good things, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
92%, that's just incredible. And from that type of engagement, that increase of employees engaging this sort of stuff, have you uncovered leadership potential through this enablement of that engagement and encouraging people to put their ideas on the table and speak up and really contribute to, you know, the direction of the Conoco business?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, the best ideas that I see come into either Dare to Try or the value optimization campaign are the ones that have somebody's taken from ideation, they've scratched their head, they've looked at it and said, I think I know a way. And they've taken that all the way through to execution. And then all I'm getting at the back end, here's something that we've done. Here's something that's pretty cool. Here's something that we could share. And I just marvel at that effort. I take a step back and go, wow, you've done that all yourself. You've engaged with the SMEs. You've worked with the managers for approval. You found budget, you found resource, and you've delivered something that's made an impact to the business. We've got a heap of examples, I want to say, where that has occurred. So, yeah, I think that's awesome. That makes my job, you know, somewhat easy. And really it becomes, well, you know, more so around or highlighting and showcasing some of those ideas and leverage and sharing those out further within the ConocoPhillips organization to hopefully share them further with the BUs that can adopt those ideas and do something with them as well. I think what's really important in the way we set up Dare to Try and the campaign was around a view that no two ideas are created equal and therefore they shouldn't be treated as such, right? You can have good initiatives that can be stifled by overly bureaucratic processes and unnecessary red tape. You know, that's common in our industry. We are risk averse, I get that. But there are some ideas that are low risk, low cost, you know, the resources they can manage within their own functions or within their own teams. You know, we wanted to create a bit of a slipstream where those ideas could just move forward, you know, provided they had the backing of the organization or the backing of that functional manager, you're empowered to get after those and make them happen and not force everything through the same funnel. That's worked really well for us. And that's where those examples that I was speaking to before sort of come to fruition, where you empower somebody to get after their idea and make it happen. And that's been a big success story for us.
Well, and it really is cultivating that kind of leadership kind of profile, regardless of whether people's a formal leader in your business already, right?
Yeah, for sure. And probably to get back to that second part of your question around business direction, I think when we first started with Dare to Try, I think the first, I want to say 10 ideas that came in were all about digital mobility. You know, so that's starting to present a picture to management, to the business that, hey, mobility is important and we need to get our heads into this space. And from that has spawned some direction, has spawned a lot of activity that we're pursuing right now. So, yeah, in some cases, it absolutely has influenced business direction.
Wow. And I want to ask a question that's not always a nice question to ask because the programs just sound cracking, but I'm sure there are some challenges along the way. Are you able to talk to us about potentially some of the challenges you've had with the program and how you went about kind of finding solutions to, you know, what we all hope to do is make those continuous improvements?
Yeah, I think the challenges that we face are probably not new. I don't think they're unique. I think anyone that's launching an innovation program will be faced with the same challenges at some point in time. So, you know, the first part is you know, the bare bones. You need to have a process. You need to have a governance model to make sure that your program's set up to succeed. You need to have that leadership engagement, which is super important. So you need to have leaders that will stand shoulder to shoulder with you and say, I value this initiative. This is important to me. And yeah, I was very, very lucky and very thankful to have that here at ConocoPhillips and be able to stand shoulder to shoulder with our president and you know, exude, I guess, a bit of enthusiasm and the importance of this overall program. So that was key. I guess the next part was around participation, right? So how do we find creative ways to engage with our workforce? Because you can have the best system in the world. It can be slick, it can be sexy, but if you can't bring people to the table, you're not going to get those ideas, right? So we spend a lot of time kind of thinking about, well, how do we unlock that potential? How do we get some excitement, and how do we bring those ideas into the platform? So what we did, we actually looked a little bit differently. We engaged with one of our existing business partners, AWS, Amazon Web Services, and try and tap into a little bit of the Amazon culture of innovation, which is just a fascinating read. If you haven't gone online and looked into that, I'd suggest you do so. So what came from that was we basically created like an innovation roadshow, which we invited all of our employees in from Brisbane. It didn't matter location, Gladstone, whatever, where we brought in some cool technology, some new technology, things we haven't seen before, some really competent and engaging speakers. And we spent a number of hours kind of talking about innovation, just to try and get those creative juices flowing. We had some prizes, we made it fun. It was awesome. At the back end of that, we're kind of ready to launch the campaign and we were off and running. So that was fantastic, and that kind of helped settle the nerves down, because it was certainly a worry that we would kind of unveil the program and then not get the participation that we were looking for. But it was far from the case. I guess also you're still going to have limitations around resources, limitations around budget, and I guess more importantly the amount of change that any business is able to absorb at any one time. And I think that's really, really important. You can bamboozle people with 14 different initiatives, or you can take a more targeted approach and make sure that each initiative as it's rolled out is done so effectively, is done well, and the business is able to run along with those changes and not be overcome by the amount of noise that's being created. So that was really, really important for us as well. We've, like I said before, we've got processes set up to help evaluate those more complex ideas without stifling the ideas that just make sense. So we recognized that early on, and we created that kind of slipstream I mentioned before, just to help not stifle progress and help continue with that culture and that enthusiasm and that excitement. So I think it's really important that, we didn't look at Dare to Try in terms of success and failure. The reality, as I've said, is some ideas will be selected and others won't. But what we promoted, and we did make a real point of promoting this through the launch of both our campaign and through Dare to Try, is really the value of participation, regardless of the end result. So I'd really encourage people to kind of not look at innovation streams in terms of success and failures, because if people are worried about potential failures, then they may just hold that idea back. And we didn't want that. We wanted to see all the ideas, the rough diamonds and otherwise. And then it's up to us to see what we do with those. How do we mold them? How do we create something from them? But if you look at it purely from a point of view of success and failure, you may find you actually inadvertently stifle participation. So we were really, really mindful of that and made that very clear in the rollout. And then, we go about that constantly and providing that feedback and thanking people and then looking for other opportunities to expand their ideas or to bring another SME to the table to help elevate their idea as opposed to just closing it out. And then probably the last bit is just around making sure, one of the challenges was making sure that you can provide the right level of feedback to the organization. Yeah, contribution is valued. We're doing something with their idea, and these are some of the success stories. I guess my advice to anyone there that's setting up a program is celebrate shamelessly, self-promote, do whatever you need to do to get that excitement, but make sure also that you shine a light on those pockets of excellence where people are going above and beyond in the innovation space, because that's what good looks like to me, and that's what drives a culture.
You touched on before, you know, the concerns or the challenge that what if we build this thing and no one engages with it? You know, that's obviously a big, you know, piece of apprehension. But what if, you know, there wasn't any good ideas? You know, what are we going to do with this? So, you know, what kind of planning and preparation did you guys need to do in case you had other types of stumbling blocks?
The first bit was definitely apprehension about participation. I think, yeah, that's the piece that we had to get right. So it was certainly apprehension around that. And we spent a lot of time and effort planning to get that right. And the partnership with AWS I discussed before. The next part was around the platform and making sure that wasn't going to crash. Making sure it was slick. It was fun. It was easy to operate within. Again, I've seen examples of innovation platforms where it's basically a super, well, not basically, it's a super complex process to get an idea into the system, asking questions that at that point in time, you just got no idea how to answer, looking for a large scale or a full technical evaluation. So, yeah, we were a little bit apprehensive about that. And so we were deliberate in the design of the program and what we're asking of people to make sure it was easy for them to interact with. And so they could be kind of in and out of the system within, you know, two, 3 minutes. So it's quite a bit of planning that went into that. Obviously, the communication strategy, how are we going to communicate, how frequently, what type of messages, things like that. And then the governance structures, making sure that whatever we've got in place there supports you know, the progression of these ideas at the right pace, at the right drumbeat, and so not as to slow things down.
We just talked about, you know, the question about apprehension for the actual program, but you talked about communicating, you know, back to the employees of Conoco about what their ideas and what's happened. So how do you manage any of those ideas that, you know, you give them a crack, but they fail, and any potential negative impacts that may come out of that situation? So how do you manage that?
I think it's just being straight with people, to be honest. Like, I think it's not overly complex. I think it's, you know, we thank everybody for their effort. We thank everybody for their ideas. And sometimes things just don't work out. Now, I think what's important is being able to go back to that individual and say, yeah, I really thank you for your time, but be able to give them the reasons as to why it's not going to get up at that particular point in time. And generally, people will receive that well. If you've taken time out of your day to explain the decision, they may not always 100% agree with it. I get that. But largely, they will appreciate the fact that you've taken time out of your day and you've explained the reasons as to why that particular idea wasn't moved forward. I am mindful of, whilst an idea may not get up here in Australia, it may be an absolute home run somewhere else in our portfolio. So I'm connected with others across the globe, other innovation coordinators, and where I see an idea that I think is maybe not a great fit for us, but could be an absolute fit for somebody else, I make sure to push those ideas across to that business unit and say, hey, I think this could be good for you. Have a look at it, give us some feedback, and I make sure that the idea originator is tied into that so that other people can see where the ideas come from. They can reach out to them to understand what they were trying to achieve, and you're still taking them on an innovation journey and they feel like they're contributing to something. So don't always think that just because an idea doesn't get up, that's where it stops. I think there's an opportunity for us to see if we can take it that next step further and find somebody else who's willing to pick it up and adopt it.
I just love these initiatives not only really challenge what you started telling us about, which is, you know, what innovation is kind of perceived to be, but really it challenges the status quo around how companies kind of approach employee engagement on this area, not just around, you know, the standard things about job satisfaction and efficiency and productivity, but really changing engagement around innovation and also the culture about contributing to that innovation drive. You know, it kind of begs the question, what's next? You guys have built these amazing programs and are getting, you know, such fantastic engagement and support from your workforce in innovation space.
Yeah, so I think, you know, what's important is recognizing that innovation's going nowhere. In fact, it's accelerating, and you certainly want to be along for the ride. So, you know, we've done some fantastic work in establishing these programs and initiatives and harnessing, I guess, the creative might of the ABU here in Australia. But it's making sure that we don't get lazy and making sure that we continue to generate that excitement and continue to foster that culture of innovation moving forward. Because we want to identify the technologies of tomorrow that haven't been thought of yet. We want that person that's looking at that piece of equipment and scratching their head and thinking, why do we do it this way? You know, I've got a better way. We want to encourage those people to kind of continue to bring those ideas to work, because we just don't know where that could take us. It could lead us somewhere amazing. Mm-hmm. But then further to that, we've got broader programs for sure in the space of data analytics, digital mobility has played such a key role through the response to COVID-19. The Internet of Things, you know, just an automation, just to name a few. So we've definitely got some programs specifically in that space as well. And I'm pretty excited by where they're going to lead us in the not too distant future.
Yeah, wow. Some of the things you've just described to me, you know, obviously have become very important with COVID, right? When you talk about having people in different locations, being able to collaborate and see the same thing, that technology has been around for a long time, but how our industry's used it and made it efficient and effective for us is something that people, you know, have really had to fast track with the impacts of COVID.
Yeah, it's really forced our industry and others, I would suggest, to think differently in the way in which we work. And you're right, it's not new technology, but that larger scale adoption, you know, we're still getting there. But what you can see and what you can hear around the place is a fundamental shift towards that technology. And you know, I had a conversation with one of our guys walking through the plant the other day, and it was fantastic. He could show me stuff. We could converse openly. He could hear me, I could hear him, and you know, we're able to troubleshoot something in real time, and I think that's super exciting, and I can't wait to see what's next down the pipe.
Well, we're going to have to come back and chat. I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you about innovation, but you know, talking about culture and engagement and how making innovation really, you know, live and breathe in an organization sounds like a really fantastic journey that you folks at ConocoPhillips have been on. So Tristan, thank you so much for joining us on Resource People Podcast today.
Thanks, Tara. Thanks for having me. I'd love to come back.
Thanks so much for tuning into Resource People Podcast. I hope you enjoyed and took something out of my chat with Tristan, and hope you tune in again soon for Resource People Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Resource People Podcast. We look forward to you joining us next time as we highlight the many great stories of the resources and energy industry. If you have any questions about the podcast, please email media@ama.org.au. Produced by Brad Thompson.